This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and it's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium on March 5th. We're here with the PFW writers, and the Draft Prospect Podcast is back. Andy Hart and Eric Scalavino bringing us today all the latest news. What's going on, Andy?
How you doing, Lori?
Hey, Lori. Thank you. And yes, we are back with our draft preview podcasts. We'll do a positional breakdown between now and April 26th draft at the various spots that'll be available and what the Patriots might do in the draft with the various prospects. But before we get into today's selection, which is quarterbacks, which is obviously a position looking more for depth and backup than a starter, Tom Brady, for now, I think, has a decent hold on his position. We're going to take a national perspective and look for an analyst who can bring a little bit more of the flavor that these draft scout people bring to the draft preview process. And he is a senior analyst for NFLDraftScout.com, Rob Rang. Hey, Rob, good to have you here on our podcast. How's it going today?
It's going great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good. Well, just to let you know, we are starting out with a position where, you know, the Patriots aren't necessarily looking for a starter, and that'd be quarterback. I think they're still pretty set with Tom Brady for the next window here of 4 or 5 years. But it is a position that they've drafted often in the draft, looking at late-round prospects to try to develop as a backup. But before we get into the Patriots' perspective, I want to ask you about some of the top guys. Obviously, a local guy here from Boston College, Matt Ryan, is considered a potential first-round pick and maybe the first quarterback. But another guy is Brian Brohm, who's in the conversation. So what are your thoughts on how those top few quarterback prospects play out?
You know, I think Boston College's Matt Ryan is head and shoulders above any other quarterback in the draft. I mean, he's a player. He has all the physical tools you're looking for. He has a strong arm. He's very accurate. He's intelligent. He's poised in the pocket. He's got enough footwork that he can move around and get himself out of trouble. I believe that he's going to end up being a top 10 pick in this draft, quite possibly a top 5. I don't necessarily believe that he's going to go number 1 overall, as a lot of people believe. I just don't think that he has the natural tools that the teams are looking for a number 1 overall pick. But I do, as I mentioned, believe that he is head and shoulders above any other quarterback. I think that Louisville's Brian Brohm is a quarterback that also could go in the first round, but he's more of a mid to late round or mid to late first round kind of a player. He does everything well, nothing exemplary. I mean, he's not a fantastic in terms of arm strength. He's probably his best asset is his accuracy and is his poise in the pocket. But because he has only marginal arm strength, because he has been surrounded by a great deal of talent while at Louisville, and other past Louisville quarterbacks have not had the great success at the next level, that I think that he is more one of those players who's going to have a little bit of a drop. There's certainly the perception that he is an elite prospect, but I think he's going to drop a little bit, as has Aaron Rodgers and Brady Quinn over the last couple of years.
So with Ryan, a guy who you have now selected, you know, as your top quarterback, is he a guy that would be the top quarterback or a potential top 10 pick in any draft, or is this a case of a guy like Alex Smith, who many believe, had he come out a year earlier, would have been the 6th quarterback taken? Where does Ryan fit in a comparison year to year of quarterback prospects?
You know, he doesn't rank among the elite quarterbacks the last couple of years. He would be a first-round pick, certainly, in any draft. I mean, he's just been too successful throughout his career not to be. But as far as, you know, comparing him to a Drew Bledsoe or a Carson Palmer or a Peyton or Eli Manning, he's not in that kind of character or that kind of class. I would put him as more of a mid-first-round kind of a player in a typical class, and because this class is weak at the top of quarterback position, that's why he's going to be probably a top 5 pick.
One guy that seems to be, you know, a small school guy who's kind of getting in the conversation for one of the top handful of quarterbacks is Joe Flacco out of Delaware. What are your thoughts on him, and what can he bring to the NFL?
You know, Flacco's an intriguing guy. I mean, he's 6'6", 235 pounds. He's got a monster arm. He's got the strongest arm of any quarterback in the draft. And so I certainly understand why teams are excited about his upside. But at the same time, he is very much so a developmental player. He's a player that when I watch him, he's accurate enough for the lower level of college football, and he's accurate enough to be reasonably impressive at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine. But I wonder if he has the accuracy at this point in his career to come in and be an impact player at the NFL. When he throws the ball, he forces the receiver to stop a little bit, and that's going to limit the amount of yards after the catch that the receiver's going to get for him. It's going to obviously limit his success. And so I believe that he is more of a second to third round prospect. I know that he's getting a lot of hype right now, and I believe that it is warranted because he does have the physical tools, but this is a player that, you know, you have to kind of you have to know what you're getting a little bit. He is a player that absolutely needs at least a year or two of development time before he's going to make any kind of impact in the NFL.
We're talking to Rob Rang right now about the quarterbacks in this draft. He is the senior analyst from NFLDraftScout.com. I want to turn the conversation now towards, you know, potential Patriots and mid to later round picks who could come in here and obviously serve as a backup to Tom Brady, maybe develop in a few years. They've tried to do it with Rohan Davey. They've tried to do it with Matt Cassel, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt Gutierrez. They've had a number of them. One guy we're a little bit interested in because we've heard that they have liked what they've seen from him at the college level is Colt Brennan out of Hawaii, who obviously there's a lot of questions about size and the system. What are your thoughts on Colt Brennan?
You know, I'm actually a little higher on Colt Brennan than a lot of people are. I mean, the concerns about his arm strength are absolutely legitimate. I mean, he does not have the arm to make every NFL pass. But that's the thing, especially in the New England system and in the West Coast offense as well. Teams running that system, you don't need to have a dominant arm. You need to have accuracy, and you need to have enough zip on the ball to complete passes in the 5 to 15-yard range, and he has that. I think that he's going to be very successful in a system that allows him to scan the field, as he did at Hawaii in the shotgun offense, and just zip those little passes because he is very accurate. He's among the most accurate quarterbacks in this draft. But, again, he has to be in a system that protects him. He doesn't have the size teams are looking for. He has legitimate character questions, and he doesn't have the arm strength to be successful in every scheme. So he has to go to an offense that is tailor-made for his abilities.
Rob, there's a guy that I saw at the Combine who I'm starting to get a little intrigued with. He's tall. He's very fast. Kevin O'Connell from San Diego State. What do you think of this guy?
I like him. He's definitely a developmental prospect. He's a player that I expect to be drafted somewhere between the 5th and 7th round. So definitely more of a long-term project. But he's a player that has the tools, as you mentioned. I mean, he's a tall kid. This is a kid who's 6'4", 6'5", 230 pounds, and played very well at San Diego State. And so he's a player that I think that you're gonna see rise up the board as the draft approaches. He certainly helped himself with some strong East-West Shrine Game and the Hula Bowl, those performances. So I believe that you're going to see him move up. I think that he is one of the more intriguing developmental prospects as far as second-day developmental prospects of this draft.
Another couple of other guys I'd like your thoughts on. Another one from a small school, Paul Smith from Tulsa, and then also a couple of guys from bigger schools, Eric Ainge from Tennessee and Chad Henne from Michigan.
Yeah, with Paul Smith, you're talking about a player who's very similar in a lot of ways to a player we talked about before, Colt Brennan. He's a little bit undersized. He has enough arm strength that he can complete those short to medium range passes. He's accurate in that range. I don't believe he is as accurate as Colt Brennan, although his numbers would argue otherwise. He is one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the entire country last year and throughout his career at Tulsa. But again, this is a player that has to be put into the system that fits his talents. You mentioned a couple of other players. Eric Ainge from Tennessee. He has all the height you're looking for, but generally when you have a very tall quarterback, a lot of times that translates to a big arm. And Eric Ainge does not have a big arm, and he's only marginally accurate. So I'm not as high on Eric Ainge as a lot of people are. He has had a great deal of success in the SEC, and that's something you cannot take away from him. But at the same time, I don't believe that he has the tools that project him the next level that some of the other lesser-known quarterbacks might have. Chad Henne from Michigan is a player I'm very high on. I'm higher on Chad Henne than I believe just about anybody else throughout the scouting community is. When I watch him, there's no doubt when you watch him that he has struggled at times with, I would say, with stopping the avalanche. And that's just kind of a term we use that when things start to go down, things start to unravel for him, he has not shown the ability to kind of rally the troops and bring things up. And so that is definitely a concern that every scout has when they watch Chad Henne. That said, when he has protection, he is as accurate as any quarterback in this draft. He has as strong arm as any quarterback in this draft. I really believe that he's going to surprise somebody at the next level. I think he's going to end up being a second-round pick, but I think that he ultimately could end up being a better pro quarterback than either of the two quarterbacks drafted ahead of him, Matt Ryan or Brian Brown.
Rob, we've asked you about some specific names. Are there any guys we've left out that you might project as a good fit with the Patriots on the second day because of their skills, because of their, you know, developmental level, but guys that might be a good to keep an eye on as Patriots fans when New England's on the clock?
You know, because we've talked about as many quarterbacks as we have, the one player that I would mention that I think would fit in to what New England does as far as an intelligent passer who has enough accuracy to be successful regardless of the wind and the different elements that you're all obviously going to have playing at Foxborough would be John David Booty from USC. I mean, he struggled at times at USC, but he didn't have the luxury of the talent that some of the other past USC great quarterbacks had. He's certainly no Carson Palmer when it comes to natural athleticism and the arm strength and things of that nature. But I view him as a very similar player as I view Matt Liner, as a player who can be productive in the right system because he's accurate enough, he's poised enough, he played well enough at the Senior Bowl. He wasn't very impressive at the Combine. It was actually about as inaccurate as I've ever seen him, and I've watched John David Booty a lot over the last couple of years. But I do believe that he has definite long-term potential. I think in the third to fourth round, as a developmental type of quarterback, that he's a player that every team, and certainly a team as well stocked a position as New England is, would have to consider.
All right, Rob, before we let you go, we know quarterback is the marquee position, whether it's in the NFL or in the NFL draft. Every year there are stories about the position, whether it's a guy like Brady Quinn slipping further than some people expected, or, you know, a smaller school guy or a guy people aren't familiar with, like a Tavares Jackson suddenly coming up and being a second-round pick. Who would you list as, you know, what would the story be, you think? I know it's early, but looking ahead to the draft, what kind of stories do you expect to come out of the NFL draft this year at quarterback that leave a lasting?
I think there's a couple of different stories. I think certainly Matt Ryan, where he goes, that's going to be an interesting thing because there's a lot of teams that view him as a top five. I talked to three teams about Matt Ryan specifically in the last 24 hours, and one team had him as a lock for the top five, and the other team had him in the top 15, and the other team had him falling completely out of the first round. So I think that just that indecision is indicative of kind of the way this quarterback class is. So that's definitely going to be a story. And then I would also mention that the small school players, as you mentioned, Tavares Jackson a couple of years ago, how he rolls all the way up in the second round. Joe Flacco is that story this year, just that the hype has already come about, and so he's already getting that kind of attention. So I expect at this point that when he is probably drafted in the second round, that it won't come as a major surprise to people. But the other story I'd mention is Brian Brohm. I really think that he is a player that there has been so much hype about him throughout early in his career that there's a lot of people out there who are consider themselves to be casual draft fans and don't necessarily know what's going on, that view him as among the elite quarterbacks in this draft, and that's just simply not the case. He's a player who I very strongly believe is going to be drafted around that 15 to 20 range, and if he falls completely out of the first round, that wouldn't be the surprise that some people anticipate at this point.
All right, Rob, well, we appreciate you joining us, and again, this is Rob Rang from NFLDraftScout.com. Thanks, and hopefully we'll talk to you again down the line, maybe check in with a few more positions.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, now that we've got the national perspective from one of the premier draft sites on the Internet, a company we're now doing a little cross-promotion with, Rob Rang's going to have some analysis in Patriots Football Weekly. We'll get the local perspective from us geniuses down here at Gillette Stadium. Eric Scalavino still here. Tom Casale has joined us. I find it very interesting coming off what Rob said, the question at the top of the quarterback position. Matt Ryan and Brian Brohm. I finished my film work on the quarterbacks today. In my opinion, Rob Rang wrong. I think Brohm is the best talent. I just think he's going to end up being the best quarterback.
And one thing I vastly disagree with him was the talent level that Louisville had last year. Uredia, their top receiver, dropped about three passes a game. I mean, I'm talking about balls right in his hands. He was a major disappointment for them. Harry Douglas, a very good player for them, but they didn't have a great running back. Played with one of the worst offensive lines in college football last year. Every time you watched a Louisville game, all the announcers would say is how tough Brian Brohm was, because he would take beating after beating after beating and still come up and lead his team back in those games. So I think that shows something. Mm-hmm. When you're playing on a team like that, I think it shows leadership. I think it shows toughness. And I would disagree. I don't think Louisville was that talented last year, as Rob said.
And Matt Ryan, the questions I have about him, I think the intermediate throws. I saw him a lot either checking off or throwing the deep ball, which is pretty common with college quarterbacks. But I wonder, can he drop back and just throw that 15-yard out or 15-yard in cut that I think you need to do at the pro level? He certainly has the rest of the – I mean, he's polished. He can handle the media. He's a guy that we talk about playing with guys. He didn't play with anybody at BC.
Nobody.
He has no skill players around him that are going to be
and
in the NFL.
A large reason for the number of interceptions he had last year, I believe, was because his receiver simply couldn't get open.
Right. And they were a passing offense. He had to throw the ball, and he knew that.
Another thing I noticed in his highlights was a lot. He tended to stick to one target. He'd telegraph a lot of where he was going with it. You'd see him look that way, and then he'd end up throwing that way.
It's one of those. Is that the way he is, or is he getting away with it in college?
Yeah.
Because I think most of these guys, I actually think that was one of Brohm's strengths. I think he reads
the
field.
Oh, he looked off a lot.
I think he looks left, right, comes back left, whatever it may be. But I think both of those guys are clear NFL-caliber quarterbacks. They're going to start at some point. They'll have an opportunity probably to be a team's starter or franchise player. Beyond that, I'm not sure there is any more of those. I think the rest are second, third-round picks who you might say – you give a chance, you know, a Beck or, you know, guys from last year who you get a chance. Those guys would be Henny, Flacco, Woodson. That's sort of the next group there. Woodson was a guy I was very underwhelmed with.
I don't like him either.
I had flashbacks to one Rohan Davey.
He does that a lot where he'll just throw the ball up for grabs to either Burton or Stevie Johnson, and they'll go up and try to make a play. I agree. He has a long arm motion.
Oh, it takes forever.
Yeah, very.
The only guy I've ever seen succeed doing that was Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, remember what game did we see? The Florida game when they remember how long it took him to get that pass off?
Yep.
The guy was wide open. It took him forever to get that pass.
And it hurts him even more because I don't think he's a guy that reads and throws the ball. He waits till the guy's open, then throws it. And with the length of his motion, the guy might not be open by the time the ball gets there.
He'll stand there and he'll create more time with his feet, but he's always staring at the same guy, waiting for that guy to get open. He's not looking off.
The other guy that seems to have that kind of long, slow motion is Flacco.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's, what is he, 6'7"?
Six and change.
You know, you would think he'd be more of the strong arm type and get it off quicker, but it takes him a while to get the ball out of there. The guy that I was most impressed with that we've seen so far is Kevin O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
From San Diego State.
I was going to get to him. He's in that next tier of late-round prospects, and to me, he's a guy worthy of moving up. And obviously, we now have a month and a half for this to change. He was a combine superstar in terms of measurables and height, weight, running. But you watch the tape, and I agree with you, Eric. I think not knowing anything about him, easily had the most impressive tape.
Well, the reason I like guys like that is because let's say he stays in that fifth-round area. Now, if he moves up to a third-round spot, you're talking something different. But fifth-round area, I want a guy with upside. You know, I don't want a 5'9 guy like, you know, a Chris Leak or a guy like that who really doesn't have much room to grow. I like a guy who's got some raw skills, who's got a lot of athleticism like you saw O'Connell play.
Yep.
And those are the type of guys I want to draft on day two. But getting back to Flacco for a second, Eric, you know, I haven't watched Delaware play a whole heck of a lot, but guys like him scare the hell out of me because he's not going in the third or fourth round. You're talking about the end of round one, early round two. He comes from Division I AA. Mm-hmm. I saw him play against Appalachian State. He looked like a fish out of water against a Division I AA defense that was pretty fast.
So and a good one, too, a good AA team.
And I think what Rob says a lot, what he was saying a lot, is true about being overdrafted. Like he feels like Brohm could get overdrafted and things like that. Like Flacco, if he was going in round three or four, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But if you're picking him in the top 40, to me, that's not a good pick.
Yeah, that's reaching with him, at least from what we've seen so far.
He clearly has the NFL arm, and that's part of what – it's like the receiver who runs the 4.27. That automatically, in a lot of scouts' mind, bumps him up because he has something you can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
And Flacco has that kind of arm. I just think at the quarterback position – to say, and I know he went to Pitt and then transferred to Delaware, but, you know, he's questionable in terms of his reads and his ability at Delaware, and I'm all of a sudden just going to believe he's just going to be in the NFL and it's all going to come together for him and he's going to put that great arm to use. I just think that's a bit of a reach. Another guy we've already sort of looks like he's going to be one of those guys, Tom, Paul Smith out of Tulsa. You very much a Paul Smith fan. And I came away thinking Paul Smith stinks. And he'll be lucky to be a backup in Canada.
I wouldn't say I'm very much.
Oh, you loved him. You've been raving about him for weeks.
As a seventh-round draft pick, I think I would take a shot on him in the seventh round. But I also said I agreed with your assessment. I could see him playing in Canada and being a star up there, too. So, if you're talking about the seventh round and the Patriots pick Paul Smith, I'm not going to complain. You'll jump off a bridge for some apparent reason.
I'll be ripping him on the blog as they do it.
He's got that Flutie style of play. You know, he looks kind of like him, too. He's small. He runs around a lot. They have a lot of design rollouts for him.
Skittish. That's what I wrote. Skittish.
He seems to take chances on some of his long throws, too. He's got a decent arm.
Oh, he just chucks it. But he doesn't have a care in the world. He's just chucking it.
But that's
you can do that at Tulsa. You do that in the NFL, you get killed.
Played. Well, he's raw. He needs... You know, he's another guy like late is Alex Brink, quarterback from Washington State. The reason I like Brink is he put up a huge numbers, the most prolific passer ever at Washington State. That's saying a lot. They had some good players there.
Bledsoe.
But you watch him against USC last year. They got destroyed. But in the first half, he kept his team in the game by going 13 of 15. And, you know, he can only do that for so long before the defense is going to get all over him because they didn't have the offensive line to protect him. But I like watching guys like that who put up big numbers and do it against the better teams in their conference. So that's a guy in the seventh round you might want to look at, too, as a possible backup. But I agree with you guys. If you're going to get a second-day guy, I like the guys that have the upside, and O'Connell's one of those guys.
Well, he has everything because he has the size, the build. You know, we were walking down here. I compared him to Ben Roethlisberger in that he has a good arm. He's athletic. I don't think he's looking to run like a Dennis Dixon, who's an injured guy in this draft, or a Vince Young. Dennis Dixon, I told Tom, you know, you watch him play after play, he's Vince Young. He's the same. Their mannerisms, the way they run, their fakes, the way they will run up to the line of scrimmage and just dump it off at the last. Everything about him, but obviously the issue with him is
hurt
the health.
Right. And here's the thing. You're going to get Dennis Dixon in round seven, probably six or seven, most likely seven. He's not going to play next year.
Right.
But the reason why I like him is because he'll probably never be a starter in this league, but you can do some things with him. You can put in packages with him. So most guys you draft in the seventh round are just going to be cut and gone. But this is a guy, we saw Brad Smith do it last year with the Jets, came in, did some things. I think if you get a guy like Dixon, you can put in a package or two and kind of surprise teams here and there. So that's why I think he has some value late in the draft.
And he's got that upside at that time in the draft that you're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I mean, he's
got
a mid-round
injury.
Pick.
He's not going to play this year.
Because somebody's taking a chance on his athleticism, even if they project him as a wide receiver or just a jack-of-all-trades, whatever it may be. The one guy I want to touch on before we go is Colt Brennan, who we've heard in the past that the Patriots sort of liked what he was doing at Hawaii. He's a little different when you talk about a later-round pick in that he doesn't possess the prototypical arm and size and all that. You know, I would compare him to the other guy we just talked about, Paul Smith. Paul Smith is a poor man's Colt Brennan. Has the numbers, quick release, but chucks it. Struggled, obviously, in the bowl game. And he's a guy that needs to overcome some things to play in the
league. And that's one thing I just want to mention quick about him. There's going to be a lot of differing opinions. The one thing you got to throw out is that bowl game. He never had a chance.
Right.
You could have put Dan Marino back there. That Bulldogs defense was all over him from start to finish. And I have to be honest with you, I was just impressed that he finished the game. So while he may not be a great fit in the NFL, I think that game, you can't really look at that because they were just overmatched from start
to finish.
I think
if he's on the clock in round seven, the Patriots take him.
Oh.
And certainly, I've heard some people that say he's not going to get drafted.
Well,
if he doesn't get drafted, then I think it's a lock that he's a Patriot because I think they will make him one of their priority free agents and give him a little signing bonus. I think they would love to have him in camp and see if they can develop him over the next couple of years. So, you know, there's a lot of guys. NFL Draft Scout has, let me look here real quick, 18 potential draft picks they're projecting in the seven rounds of the draft. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on because I really think the Patriots will take one. They've done it often. And I think they need one. I'm not sure Gutierrez is the next in line for that developmental position. I think Castle's at the end of that line and about to be run out of town. So
who knows? They might get two.
Yeah,
you know, if they can get him later in the draft.
Know. I would not put anything past Bill Belichick. So keep an eye on the quarterback position on day two of the draft. And that's going to put the wraps on this roster report. And we're going to send it back to Lori.
Thanks, Andy. This is the Draft Prospect Preview. That's okay. Thanks very much, guys, for putting your input. Join us again next Wednesday for a brand new podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.